And we're holding on page Yud-Gimel and Eruvin, or whatever it's labeled on by, in the newer, in Yaakov's Peches or so, Ois Chofalos. We mentioned, the last thing we learned yesterday was a story involving Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Bruya, where he asked her, which road do we take to get to Lud? And she, criticized him and said, Al Tavis Tichem Isha, and you should have had a shorter way of saying it. So that leads the Gemara now and telling something else about Bruya. We know that Bruya herself was a tremendous Talmidas Chacham. She's actually the only woman who's actually mentioned in Gemara, or actually this is Tosefta or whatever, in a matter of Halacha, where she gives her opinion in Halacha, and one of the other Chachamim approves of what she says and says the Halacha is like her. So here we see what her attitude was towards learning. She one time saw a certain Talmud who was learning Torah in a whisper. She gave him a kick. And she says to him, doesn't it say in the pasuk, Arucha bakol shmura, arranged in all, meaning we're understanding it to mean in all evarim, in all parts of the body, ushmura, and preserved. Marsha points out the earlier part of that pasuk. This is part of Divrei David HaAchronim. This pasuk is part of the last statement that David made shortly before he passed away, which is at the end of Sefer Shmuel. So he mentions earlier in that pasuk, Bris Olam Samli, Hashem made me an eternal covenant. Where, in context, we understand it to mean the covenant that Hashem made with him, that his dynasty will rule forever. But since the Torah is also called a covenant, and Lo Bris Yom Valayla, then we understand that this pasuk, Arucha Bakol Shmura, can also refer to that. So therefore, it means Im Arucha Baramach Evarim. So she tells him, if the Torah is arranged in all 248 of your Evarim, and that means you're going to be saying it loud, and that makes it that now you feel it in your whole body, Shmura Balev, then it will be preserved in the heart. But if you do it in a whisper, then it won't be like that, because then you're not involving all your Amach Evarim. This is what's also explained, what's the idea behind shuckling when you're learning, is also that way you're involving all Amach Evarim in learning. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Talmud Achad Hoyle Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, Shoyashon Balacha. Rav Elezer ben Yaakov had a Talmud who used to learn in a whisper. La'acha Sholosh Shonim, Shochach Tamodei, and after 3 years, he forgot his learning. So we see, in other words, that learning out loud helps a person retain his learning, and vice versa is not. Why dafka 3 years? Ion Yaakov mentions over here that there's a Gemara in Chulin that says that if a person doesn't see a Simen Bracha in his learning for 3 years, then it's going to be hard for him to see a Simen Bracha afterwards. So for 3 years he's working on and learning, but not verbalizing it. So therefore he didn't see a Simen Bracha, and therefore he wound up forgetting it. So he should continue, but nevertheless, so the fact is he didn't learn, or he didn't retain what he had learned. Tana, and we learn in a braisa, Talmud Achad, Hoyle, the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shinis Chayiv Sreifa Lamokim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had a Talmud who was Chayiv to be burnt by Hashem. It was Chayiv Misa, B'dei Shemayim, and the Misa should have been burning. Omru, but they said in Shemayim, Hanichu Loi, leave him alone, Sha'odim Godol Shimish, because after all, he learnt by a great person, he learnt by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, why was he Chayiv Sreifa? Marsha says this may have been the same Talmud as before. We say in Pirkei Avos, Kol HaShecheich Dover Achav Mishnasai, person forgets anything from his learning, and as the Mishnah goes on to say, Sheyesha B'Yistirim Milibay, that he does something, that he does something to remove it from his mind, in this case by learning quietly, then he's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Mishchayiv B'Nafshei, he's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Then Sreifa, the Marsha refers to a Gemara in Soita that says when you have Talmid Chachamim who are walking together and they don't speak in Divrei Torah, then they deserve to be burnt. So therefore, that was the Misa that he would have been Chayiv B'dei Shemayim, but they said, look, you know, Gdol HaShimusha, Yosim HaLimuda, learning it's possible for a person to forget what this Talmud did, but you don't forget what you learned by Shimush Talmid Chachamim, by actually serving them in person and learning from their ways of speaking and their Midas and all kinds of things like that. You don't forget that so easily, and therefore he deserves credit for that. Ion Yaakov gives a different point why he was Chayiv Sreifa. Later on, we're going to learn that there's a, the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion about the point that a person is not supposed to be murder halacha b'fnei rabbi. He's not supposed to pasken halacha in the presence of his rebbe. And if he is, then like not that was one of the things that Nadav and Avihu were held guilty for, and they were punished with sreifa. So therefore, he says this Talmud may have been the same kind of thing. He was murder halacha b'fnei rabbi, but after all, since it was shimish adam gadol, then therefore that spared him from that punishment. Continues the Gemara further on this topic of learning out loud. Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which was the Shmuel's favorite nickname for Rav Yehuda all over Shas. Psach Pumach Kri, open up your mouth and read the words of Tanakh. Psach Pumach Toni, and open up your mouth and say the words of Mishnayos. In other words, don't just review them in your head and don't just review them in a whisper. Do it the pe male with a do it and use your voice. The Torah chayim, this way you'll live long, but you skyim b'yodach, and this way the Torah will be preserved by you. So Marsha says the connection between those two things, in other words, is you'll remember the Torah, because unlike that Talmud of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you won't forget it by whispering it, and because you retain your Torah, therefore you'll have the schus to arichas yomim, as opposed to the other way around, where we said that a person is shecheyach davaracham b'mishnasay, then he's meschayim b'nafshe. So therefore the two things go together. And Shenemar, and he continues, as it says in the pasuk, Ki chayim hein lemotzeihem, the Torah is life for those who find it. Olchol b'sorim marpeh, and it's a healing for his entire body. So I'll take you in lemotzeihem, elo lemotzeihem b'peh. Don't read lemotzeihem to those who find it, elo lemotzeihem to those who express it out with their mouths, rather than just learning in a whisper or just by looking and thinking about it. And we see, so the Pasuk is saying it's chayim heim, that kind of learning is life for a person. Eitz Yosef points out that since if it meant in the simple sense, l'mo'itz'ehem, to those who find it, implying those means loshen rabbin, then why does it continue? B'loshen yochad, l'chol b'saroi marpe, and it's a healing for all of his body, it should say b'sarom or something. So therefore, the Gemara understands l'mo'itz'ehem means, in other words, to the one who makes it, who expresses it. So it's loshen yochad, rather that makes it loshen yochad, and loshen rabbin, the heim, refers to the words of Torah, rather than otherwise l'mo'itz'ehem would imply the ones who find Torah. And since we're mentioning advice that Shmuel gave Rabbi Yehuda about how to learn, so the Gemara mentions another piece of advice. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, Chatoif Echol, Chatoif Ishti. Grab and eat and grab and drink. The Alma Jaz, Linen Mine, Behilul Dummy, the world that we're living in is like a wedding. In other words, the wedding is soon going to be over and you're not going to have a chance to eat the good food over there. So the same thing, grab whatever opportunities you have in this world. So primarily it's talking about ruchnius. I mean, to a certain extent, it can refer to gashmius, as you have gemaras and other places that mention, for example, that a person is supposed to, there's a famous Yerushalmi that says, for example, a person is going to be held to account for whatever he saw and didn't enjoy, because that way he's not doing the avodas habirurim that he should with that, obviously, if he's on the level to be doing avodas habirurim with it rather than the other way around where it drags him down. But primarily we're talking about ruchniistic accomplishments. And in fact, the Rebbe pointed out a number of sichas, and it's brought earlier in Chassidus as well. The word dazlinen minei, the word azlinen means we're going, and therefore that expresses the idea that in this world we're mahalchim. You have the neshama up lemaila is an oimid, it's standing still, like you have the pasuk v'nasati lacha malchim beina oimdim eila. The malachim and everybody lemaila is called oimdim because they're static, they don't move and become greater. Whereas our neshamas down here are mahalchim, are expected to be mahalchim, because we're supposed to continue walking and growing in Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, so he's saying this world is the place to be a mahalach, and therefore grab every opportunity you can to do a mitzvah. Don't worry about whether the Rebbe explains in these. In other words, don't worry whether you're holding yet on that level or not, and what prerequisites you need for that. Grab the opportunity to do that mitzvah, to learn that piece of Torah as soon as you have it. Similarly, Amalei Rav of Hamnuna. Similarly, Rav tells his Talmud of Hamnuna in a similar vein. He says, "Bni im yeshlacha, if you have available to you resources, heitivloch, then do good for yourself." He ain't b'sheol tainug, because in sheol, in the grave, there won't be any enjoyment. The anal mavis is man meya, and there's no delaying death. When it's time for a person to go, then he goes. The imtomer aniach lebanu levnoise choik. You're going to think, why should I use everything that I have in this world? I should be leaving something over for my children. No, b'shol mi yoda u'yagid loch. Who's going to tell you in the grave that it actually happened, that it remained by them? What if they squander it? And after all, you should remember, b'nei adam domim l'ifdei asadah, people are like grass of the field. Halolun noitzitzin v'halolun noivlin. You always have some blades of grass are flourishing and others are withering. So the same way, so Rashi explains, in other words, it means, and the same way as a blade of grass grows, Hashem provides its parnasa. You have the famous thing, the malach hamakah, v'oim gadol. So the same way, as a person grows, their parnasa grows with them. Elsewhere, the Gemara expresses that with the idea that man v'yoyv chai, yoyv mizoni. Hashem, who gives life, also gives mizonis. So therefore, you don't have to worry about providing for them, because Hashem will provide for them. And vice versa, halol noivon, and others all are withering and pass away. That's how Rashi explains that last point. Marsha explains another meaning of it as well. When we're saying that people are like grass, it also means that after all, you always have some people are flourishing and they're earning money, and other people are the opposite, are withering away and squandering their money. So therefore, in other words, so in effect, Marsha says really what Rav is doing over here is kind of repeating and amplifying certain psukim in Kehelas. There's many psukim in Kehelas where Shlomo expresses this idea that a person should live it up in this world, where the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that the Chachamim at one point thought that Sefer Kehelas contradicts the Torah, and they were going to hide it away, and then they realized Chilos of the Sofer Yiras Shemayim, the beginning and end of it is words of Yiras Shemayim, and therefore the whole thing is. So we understand that Shlomo, and now Rav, is not just telling us to live it up in the world, but Gashmius, it means grab every opportunity you have, Beruchnius, and use your resources for your Avodah in this world, rather than worrying about what's going to be after you. So what we're saying is, in other words, you use your resources for ruchniistic purposes. You use them for tzedakah or for various other things like that. Don't worry about what's going to be left over for your children, because Hashem will provide them their own parnasa. You don't need to provide for them. There was actually just something a few days ago in Gittin, in Daf Hayomi, there was something related to that. It says over there that Rish Lakish, throughout his life, was he never saved up any money. And then he didn't even have a pillow. It says over there, he would lay on the ground on his stomach. And he says, my stomach is my pillow. And then when he passed away, the Gemara says he left over one calf of saffron, and he bemoaned it by saying, by quoting on himself, the positive, but people leave over their wealth for others. So there's actually an explanation Marsha talks about over there that ties that to our Gemara over here, where the idea is that the Shlokish is regretting the fact, what did I put in the extra effort to earn that one cob of saffron to leave over for my children, when I could have been using that time that I earned that, or that resource that I had for ruchniistic purposes while I was alive, or even I didn't have to earn that at all, I could have used more of that time for learning. But with that said, there was a different explanation in connection with that story with Rish Lakish. There was a different explanation that says we know Rish Lakish earlier in his life was a bandit. So therefore, so he figured he can't really keep anything for himself, because whatever resources he has to give to Tzorche Rabim to potentially pay back the people that he stole from in his younger years. So therefore, maybe he's a special case. But Marashal says it's not that. And he ties it in with this Gemara over here, that Rish Lakish was feeling, I should have been more careful to make sure I don't have anything extra, that whatever I was given in my life is meant for me to use as resources in my avodah and not just to leave over for my children. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Now that we quoted the pasuk Yichayim Heim Lamotz Ehem L'chol B'sarei Marte, so the Gemara is going to bring another teaching having to do with Torah, which eventually when it will quote and darshan that second half of the pasuk, that the Torah is a healing for a person's whole body. So Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, Hamachalach Baderech, if a person is walking on the road, the Eloi Lavoya, and he doesn't have anybody to accompany him. Now the Gemara tells us at the end of Sota, there's a special mitzvah of Lavoya, Avraham Avinu did it for his guests. The Gemara says that over there, a person does not do Lavoya, is Kilo Shoifech Domin. You have over there that we know by the situation with the Egla Arufa, that the local basin has to declare, Yodenu Lashokhos, Adama Zevenenu Lerou, that we didn't know that this guy was in town and let him go without Lavoya. But nevertheless, it can happen that a person has, for whatever reason, he has to go without Lavoya. There's nobody available to accompany. So then, Yasek Baturda, he should occupy himself with Turda while he's walking, and that will be the equivalent of Lavoya. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki Liv Yaschein, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei that the Turda is Liv Yaschein for you. Now, the simple meaning of Liv Yaschein means like a beautiful garland, like a garland of flowers or leaves or whatever that a person would wear on his head, but Rabbi Shurban Levi is Darshaning Liv Yas Meloshim Lavoya. So what does chen have to do with it? Marsha says, we say in Tfilas Adena, Usneni l'chein u'l'chesed u'l'rachman, etc. So therefore we see that learning Torah has that effect on a person, and therefore it helps that he'll have chen in front of other people, which he needs when he's on the road. And Ion Yaakov, by the way, points out with this and with the next few where we're going to talk about where a person is not feeling well, the expression is Yasek Batorda. He may not have the actual head to learn Torah while he's walking or while he's not feeling well or whatever, but at least he should be Yasek Batorda, he says, meaning in other words, think of how to go about learning, how he's going to arrange himself learning for when he has the ability to do it, to actually participate in it. Anyway, so the Gemara continues, Rabbi Shurban Levi continues, if a person has a headache, Yasek Baturda, then he should be studying Torah. Shenemar, as that same pasuk continues, Ki Liv Yaschein continues, Eim L'Reshecha. The Torah is a good thing for your head. So it's a remedy for your head. Now, Marsha says 2 points over here. Now, there is a concept the Gemara tells us in Masech Shavuos, you're not allowed to use Divrei Torah for healing. If a person is sick, for example, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says you're not allowed to whisper a pasuk over the wound or over the sickness or whatever. There, the Gemara says actually that if a person does that and he spits, then he loses his place in Olam Haba, but even without the spitting, it's still also to use Divrei Torah like that. However, the Gemara mentions over there it's different when you're doing it proactively to prevent the sickness from coming in the first place. Or, I mean, there's different other Hatarim for it. For example, we know to say Tillim for a sick person, for example, that the schos should help him. That's not directly over the makkah, so that's different. But anyway, the point is, so here, Marsha says, first of all, then, he's doing it the regular kind of learning, not specifically to cure his headache, but just what Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying is don't slack off from your learning, continue doing your regular learning. Or the second possibility, Marsha says, we may not mean the person actually has a severe headache yet, but he feels a headache coming on. So therefore, before it actually becomes serious, then you should proactively be learning, and that would help with that. Similarly, Rabbi Shurban Levi continues, Chosh Begrone, if a person has an ache in his throat, a sore throat, Yasek Baturda, then he should be occupying himself with Torah. Shenema, that same posse continues, Va'anokim L'gagre Secha, the Torah is like a necklace for your neck. So we see, in other words, it's also a remedy for your neck. If a person has a stomachache, Yasek Baturda, you should also learn Torah. Shenemar, as another pasuk in Mishlei says, Rifus Tehila Sharecha, the Torah will be a healing for your navel, for your belly button, which is there above the stomach. And Choshvatz Moisev, if he feels a pain in his bones, Yasek Baturda, also he should be learning Torah. Shenemar, as that same pasuk continues, Vishikui Las Moisecha, the Torah is a potion for your bones. And finally, Chosh B'chol Gufa Yasek Baturda, even if he feels an ache in his entire body, he should be learning Torah. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, this is the continuation of the Pasuk that we quoted earlier, U'l'chol B'sorei Marpe, the Torah is a healing for his entire body. Maushar explains, why does Rabbi Shurban Levi focus particularly on these things? The head, the throat, the stomach, So he says, because like this you have, usually a person is sick, people come to be mevaka chola. And the Gemara in Nedarim tells us that if the person who's visiting is ben giloi, meaning somebody who shares the same mazel as him, then he takes away 1/60th of the illness. Now, on the other hand, that same Gemara in Nedarim talks about there are certain kinds of people that you shouldn't be visiting for bikur cholim. One of them is a person who has a stomach ache because he's likely to be very embarrassed. He has to go to the bathroom very frequently. So therefore, so it's so better to not visit him. As far as headaches, the Gemara also says over there, a person with a headache has a hard time speaking. So therefore, it's also not so good to be mevaka chayla. All the more so, Marshall says, if he has a sore throat, all the more so it's going to be hard for him to talk. So therefore, such people are far less likely to have a ben giloi visiting them and taking away 1/60th of their illness. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi is telling us specifically by those, make sure to learn Torah, and that will help with it. So in this vein, Amr of Yehuda Breda Rabchia, Boy Rei, Shaloi Kmidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam. Come and see that the way Hashem does things is not the way a Basav Adam does things. Midas Basav Adam, Adam Noisam Machaveri Sam, one person, you give somebody a medicine, you prescribe them a medicine, Yafal Ozeh, Bekoshal Ozeh. It's good for this illness, but it has side effects. It has a bad effect on other parts of the body. You look at any bottle of medicine nowadays, you'll find a huge list of side effects. But you have no choice. You take it because you need the cure. Va'kodesh Baruch Hu noisen Torah l'Yisrael, but Hashem give the Torah to the Jewish people, sam chayim v'chol gufam, and it's a remedy for the entire body. There are no bad side effects. Shenemar l'chol b'sari marfei, that same pasuk, that it's a healing for his entire body. Provided, Marsha says, he refers to a Gemara in Kedushin that says or Gemara in Yuma rather, that says that the Torah can be a sam chayim, or it can be the opposite, depending on what attitude a person takes towards learning it. So when we're saying over here, it can be a sam chayim for the entire body, depends whether the person is learning it with the right attitude, with the attitude that he's learning it in order to connect l'shma, to connect with Hashem, not that he's learning it l'kanter in order to use to harass other people, etc. Continues the Gemara, getting back now to this point that we were talking about before, about learning Torah and verbalizing the words. Amr of Asi, or of Ami, my dichtiv, what does it mean, another pasuk in Mishlei, b'chlal, the whole Sefer Mishlei, a substantial part of Sefer Mishlei is about, it's Mishalim, hence the name, which of Shloima, telling a person about the importance of learning Torah. So he uses many different mishalim, the 900 odd psukim of it, he used many different mishalim to express to a person the importance of learning Torah and learning it with the right attitude and so on and so forth. So therefore, whenever the Gemara is talking about something involving learning Torah, inevitably it's always going to bring in a bunch of psukim from Mishlei about it. Anyway, my dichtiv, ki noim ki sishmen en bevitnecha, the pasuk says it'll be pleasant when you keep them in your belly, yikoinu yachtav al sasecha, they will be established together, they will be firmly fixed together on your lips. That means, emas adivre torah ne'imim, when are the words of Torah pleasant, ki sishmen en bevitnecha, when you preserve them in your belly, in other words, when you keep them internalized and you don't forget them. So like we were saying before, where a person might forget his learning. The emas haitishim and mivitnecha, and in turn, how are you going to keep them inside you, be it b'shoshi, koinu yachtav asfasecha, when they're established nicely on your lips. Meaning that you verbalize it, and Rashi says, that you're not just whispering it, you're not just mumbling it or whatever, you're actually saying it clearly with your lips. Then we're saying sishmen and mivitnecha, then it helps be preserved in your stomach, meaning inside you. The metaphor of stomach, by the way, I mean, we have, there's the idea in the Zoya, or the Alter Rebbe discusses it in Perek Dalet and Hey of Tanya, that the Torah is mozon l'nefesh. It discusses it also in Kuntos Achron, that the Torah is mozon, is ruchnistic food for the neshama. So that would be, that might explain why Shlomo HaMelech uses the metaphor of having it in your stomach. There's also in Lechuta Torah, in Parshas B'chukosai, you have the pasuk over there of Ofu Esem Noshim Lach Mechem B'Sanur Echad, and the Alter Rebbe explains over there the deeper meaning behind it is that you'll be baking the Torah in the oven in the oven with the fire of Avi V'Yira, and then he explains the Esem Noshim refers to the Esem Kochas HaNefesh and so forth, and V'Achaltim Loisis Bo, as the pasuk finishes off, you'll eat and you won't be satisfied because the more you learn Torah, the more you want to learn of it. So therefore, also you have over there the idea that Torah is compared to bread that you bake and then you eat and get nourished with it. Reb Zera Amar Mehacha. Reb Zera says you have a different pasuk that also expresses the same point, the importance of learning Torah verbally. Simcha le'ish b'manei piv. A person has happiness with the answer of his mouth. The Dabar be'itay matov, and a word in its proper time, how good it is. So that means the same idea. Emesai simcha le'ish, when does a person have happiness from Torah? Bizman shemana b'fiv, when he has an answer ready in his mouth, meaning when somebody asks him a divine halacha, Rashi says, then he's able to answer right on the spot. Loshan achar, and another way of expressing it, emesai simcha le'ish mane piv, when does a person have happiness with what he expresses with his mouth? Bizman shedava v'ite matoiv, when he's able to say a word at its proper time, how good it is, meaning that he's able to darshan the halachas of each yomtiv on the appropriate yomtiv that he's familiar with, that's be'itoy in its proper time. Rabbi Yitzchak says another point. You can another pasuk from Chumash this time that you can see the importance of learning Torah verbally. The Torah is very near to you in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Meaning, when are the words of Torah very close to you? When it's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Meaning, in other words, when you have it in your mouth, so then it makes it much easier that it'll be bilvavcha, that it'll be preserved in your heart. You'll be able to actually fulfill what you've learned. If not, then Marashah says, then you have the opposite. You're going to forget it from your heart, and you're not going to be able to accomplish it in practice. So it all begins with beficha, by being able to say it verbally. Rava Amar Mehacha. Rava says you have yet another pasuk that expresses this point. A pasuk from Tilim. Tavas liber nasataloi. You gave him, in context of talking about David HaMelech, the Jewish king in general, you gave him the desire of his heart. Ba'areshes sfasa ba'munata sela, and you have not held back ever the utterance of his lips. Areshes, like you have in Rosh Hashanah, davening areshes sfasenu. That lashon comes from this pasuk. So it means Amosai Tavas Libra Nasataloi, when does he get the taiva, the desire of his heart, meaning Rashi says even before he verbalizes it, Telem Yikro Vaniena, is this man Vishosh Aresha Svasav Balmanata Sela, when the utterance of his lips is not held back at all, meaning again when he's verbalizing the words of learning, then he has the schus that terem yikro v'ani ene, even before he calls out to Hashem to ask for what he needs, Hashem already provides it. Rava Rami. Now Rava pointed out though a seeming contradiction in the pasuk. Div taivas liber nasataloi. The first half of the pasuk says that you gave him the desire of his heart, which implies that he kept it in his heart. He didn't even have to say it yet. And then it continues, the utterance of his lips you haven't held back at forever. So that implies that he has to utter it, that he has to say what he wants from Hashem with his lips. So the previous drasha we were saying, it means that because he learns Torah with his lips, therefore he doesn't need to ask Hashem. But now in the second drasha, he's saying on the face of it, both parts of the pasuk are talking about the davening. So one part implies that he can just think it in his heart, and the other part implies he needs to say it. So zocha taivas liber nasataloi lo zocha aresh svasa b'manavasela. Depends whether he's zocha or not. If he's zocha, then he gets what he wants, but without even having to ask for it. If he's not, then first he has to go through all the tsar of going through the experience and then davening and so forth, and only then Hashem grants what he's asking for. Obviously it depends. I mean, you have, for example, you have other Gemaras that say, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel tefilas shel tzaddikim, that Hashem desires the tefillah of tzaddikim, and for that reason, for example, Yitzchak and Rivka were barren for 20 years because of that. So we're not saying that always at loy zocha, that it's always because of loy zocha, there can be other considerations as well. And since we're mentioning Sela, Tonet Veda, Belezim and Yaakov, Kol Mokom Shenema Netzach Sela Voed, whenever it says in the Pasuk any of these words, Netzach, or Sela, or Voed, means Ein Loi Hefzik La'olam Ol'ome Olam, means it never ceases. Netzach Dichtiv Ki Loi La'olam Odu V'loi La Netzach Hefzik. Hashem says, I won't argue forever, and I won't eternally, La Netzach, be angry at the Jewish people. So we see that Monetzach means forever because it's next to the word La'olam. In other words, it actually says each of these words by itself, we could think meant something else, but each of them is found in connection with the word Ad Olam, and therefore that implies that it means forever. Marsha actually doesn't really like that. He says, the fact is, la'olam sometimes does mean something only temporary. For example, va'avodeh la'olam, mayin evadivri, only means until yovel. So rather, he says in each of these cases, you have something special. For example, when it says loy la'olam ariv, so that already means long term. So then when it says loy la'natzachet, so it must be something beyond olam. Ad olam by itself could mean kaka only temporarily, like until yovel or something. But then when it adds loy la'natzachet, so it must be something going beyond that where there's no hefsek. And the same thing with the other psalm. So Stella, as we've heard, so we've seen, in the city of Hashem Tzvakas, in the city of our God, ad olam Stella. So again, the vote is because it says ad, and Hashem should establish it forever, Stella. So since we see that ad olam means forever, therefore Stella means forever, according to Rashi, or according to Marusha, that the ad olam itself would mean for a certain amount of time, and Stella means even beyond that. And va'ed, dichtiv, Hashem yimlech lo'olam va'ed. The pasuk says Hashem will rule forever and ever. So therefore, this other word va'ed also means forever. Okay. Getting back to, we quoted before the pasuk va'anokim l'gagar esecha, that Torah is like a necklace for your neck. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, or Elazar, my dichtiv, and it mentions over here a footnote that the Gemara gives a simon over here on Nokim Lachoy of Luchas Cherus. These are key words of the next few statements that the Gemara is going to say, that Rebbe Lazar is going to say in the Gemara. So my dichtiv anokim legagre secha, what does it mean that it's comparing the Torah to a necklace around your neck? Means in mesim odemas atzmai ka onak zeh. If a person makes himself like a necklace, should rough latsada, it's loosely around the neck. You don't want to put it on too tightly, of course, because then you'll choke yourself. And that means, in other words, therefore, in the nimshal, it would mean, Rashi says, it means the person is gentle and easygoing with people rather than harsh with them. And the nira v'ein nira, and the necklace is sometimes visible and sometimes not. Sometimes it's covered by your chin or by your beard or whatever. So the same way a Talmid Chacham is not so interested in being out in the marketplace, he stays in the Beis Medrash and reviews his learning rather than having to go appear in public. Talmudim is kain biyadei, then his Torah, his learning Torah, will be preserved in his hand. V'im lav, and if not, ain tamudim skayim biyodei. If not, then he's a bal gaiva, or he's too busy going out and then participating in the latest business or gossip or whatever. So ain tamudim skayim biyodei. Marsha adds the point also that a necklace is very high up on the body. The neck is almost the top of the body. And nevertheless, so that even though the Talmud Chacham is so great, he still, as Rashi said, noyach labrius. Then that helps that his Torah is preserved. And if not, then not. The Amr Rabbi Eliezer, or Elazar, my dichtiv l'choy of karugas habosim, Pasuk Jashirim says his cheeks are like a bed, like a garden plot of spices. So why dafka are we comparing? So l'choy of understanding as meaning the Torah that a person learns with his, that a person learns and says with his mouth and with his cheeks. So why are we comparing Torah, therefore, to a garden plot specifically? So im meisim odem atzmik, if a person makes himself like a garden plot, called Doshinba, where everybody tramples it, meaning that he doesn't have gasus aruach, inami, and also kabosim azeh, and on the other hand, he makes himself, and Marsha adds, then also the word lachoyav, then is related to the word chayus. He makes it, his own chayus is not so important. His chayus is karuga, it's like a garden plot. He doesn't mind if people step on it. And he makes himself also like perfume, where everybody can perfume themselves from him, meaning Rashi says he teaches Torah to Talmidim. Talmudim eskayim biyodeh. Then his Torah, his learning, will be preserved by him. V'im lave in Talmudim eskayim biyodeh. And if not, then not. Inami means or. So the girsa, in general, when we have something in Ein Yaakov, in parenthesis over here, means that the machaber of Ein Yaakov had this girsa and the Gemara is in front of him that he compiled from, but then they put it in parenthesis because the standard printed Gemaras don't have it. So the girsa, inami, would be it's one or the other. Either he has to be karugazu, or he has to be kabosimazu. So according to that girsa, in other words, it would be mashma, even if he's not quite karuga, as long as he's teaching Torah to other people, then that helps. Without the words inami, it means he has to be both. V'amar Rabbi Eliezer, or Elazar, my dichtiv luchos even, the Aseret HaDibros, were given on stone tablets. So why does it mention specifically that, why does it mention specifically that there was stone? Maharsha says, first of all, it doesn't even need to mention the material. And second of all, Eben just implies regular stones. The fact is, we know they were made out of sapphire. So it shouldn't say Luchas Eben at all. It should say Luchas Sapphire. Or it should just say Luchas. Why mention the material that they're made from at all? The Rif points out over here other nuances. It could have said luchos ha'edus eben instead of repeating the word luchos. It could have said luchos avonim in the plural, because after all, there are two luchos. So therefore, it's for Jerusha. Im meisim adam l'choyav to eben zu she'en nimches. If a person makes his cheeks that he learns Torah with like a stone, which doesn't get rubbed out. So in other words, he doesn't give up. He never gets tired of reviewing his learning and looking for new things to learn and teaching others. Talmudim askayim b'yodei, then his Torah learning will be preserved by him being lavin. Talmudim askayim b'yodei, and if not, then it won't. So that's the reason why we speak of stone in that connection. But Elazar, my dichtiv michtav alikim hu chorus l'gomer. Another thing it says about the luchos is they were written by Hashem. They were chorus ala luchos. This we have in this coming week's Pirkei Avot. Well, actually, we have a related thing over there where it says I'll take you chorus ala chorus. Here, the Gemara is going to bring that in a second. But first, umolim l'nishtabru luchos arishonis. It means if the first luchos had never been broken, l'nishtak for Torah Yisrael, the Torah would have never been forgotten by the Jewish people. In other words, Rashi says the word chorus means engraved, and engraving can never be rubbed out. So the same way, the Torah would have been permanently engraved by the Jewish people, and we never would have forgotten it. Now the result is because we don't have that, then therefore, Maharsha says, therefore we have the previous point that a person has to constantly be viewing his learning in order not to forget it. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, another point from the word chorus. No nation or no the speakers of any language would not have been able to dominate the Jewish people. Don't read chorus, but rather chorus, freedom, that we would have had total freedom from the goyim if we'd still had the first luchos. So you have the general concept that it talks about in many places in Chassidus, since it's brought in Hayom Yoim for tomorrow, actually, that the difference between the luchos rishonis and the luchos shnius is you have all these great advantages there were with the Luchos Rishonis, but on the other hand, the Luchos Shnius have the advantage of the Avodah Balei Tshuva, and the advantage that it mentions in the Medrash that with it came all the details of Torah Shema Peh, which you didn't have with the first Luchos. Sure. Ask it afterwards, actually, because that won't, yeah. We'll leave the next piece for tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Tesh Zayin Tammuz. So we started talking about yesterday, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that there's a positive, first of all, that says that the obvious Hashem Elokeinu is David Malkam, Asher Okim Lohem, and the Gemara says that means that David, there'll be a future, another David who will rule over the Jewish people, and the Gemara said it'll be like Kesar or Palgi Kesar. That'll be like you have a king and a Mishnah Lamelech is how the relationship will be between David and Mashiach. Which yesterday we said, the Rebbe explained that actually means within Mashiach himself, you'll have the milus of Kesar and of Palgi Kesar. So now the Rebbe goes on to explain that the word Kesar refers to something novel. Because where does the name Kesar come from? It comes from Julius Caesar, and Tosfos and Avodah Zarah explains how did he come by that name. His mother died in childbirth. They cut open her stomach and found him alive. And the word Kesar, in however it's pronounced in Latin, means to cut. So they called him that because he had been cut out of the womb. And after that, that became the hereditary title, not hereditary, whatever, that became the title after that of all the Roman emperors after that. So the Rebbe explains, Mashiach, therefore, is called Kesar in virtue of the fact that he's the king. He has the job. He has to be, as the Rambam says, Yuchem Mochamas Avaya. He's fighting the wars of Hashem, and his Malchus is going to bring this completely supernatural chiddush and novelty in the whole world. So therefore, he's called Kesar in the sense like he's doing something completely beyond what you would expect. The same way as Caesar was pulled out of the womb in a way that nobody would ever expect. And then he's called Palgi Kesar. On the other hand, he's also called the Vice Kesar because he has the other job of being the Nasi, who teaches the people and then who teaches them the way of Hashem, we're there. There's less of a chiddush in that. So therefore, in token of that job, he's only called Palgun Keser. Okay, halacha. We're continuing with the halachas of Nedarim and Shavuos. Now we come to Hataras Nedarim. So you go Hataras Nedarim, you go to three people who are Bnei Torah, and at least one of them should be familiar with Hilchos Nedarim and know what kind of Nedarim you can and can't be matter, and how you go about the Hatara, and they do the Hataras Nedarim. If a person made a neder in a dream, then it's best that you should have 10 Bnei Torah do the Hataras Nedarim. That may be one reason why on Minhag is to have 10 people on Erev Rosh Hashanah in case it was a neder in a dream. Another din, usually for most mitzvahs, we know that a boy and a girl become chayiv and mitzvahs respectively only when they're 13 and 12 respectively, and they have shtei sidus after that. But when it comes to neder and shvu, when it comes to nedarim and shvuos, it starts 1 year earlier. A boy at age 12, a girl at age 11, even they don't have simonim yet, if you ask them, you made this neder, you made this shvuah, do you know what a neder is or what a shvuah is? Do you know that it's addressed to Hashem? Then, and they say yes, then their neder or their shvuah is valid. And the din is actually, you would have to check them, you would have to ask them throughout the year. So even, for example, the beginning of the year, doesn't mention this in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, but this is the halacha. Even at the beginning of the year, you ask them, and they said yes, you'd still have to ask them if they made a neder or shvuah later in the year, you'd have to check whether they still know that. So less than that age, less than 12 or 11 respectively, then they're nedarim, are not considered nedarim. Nevertheless, if they make a neder at that age, then you tell them off for it because you don't want them to get used to making nedarim or shavuos. And if in fact it's something easy to do and it won't involve inri nefesh, then the parents should tell the kids they still have to fulfill it, even though technically al pi halacha they wouldn't need to, because again you want them to get used to the idea of the seriousness of a neder or shavuos respectively. Panana and Akash Emma.